You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Salvation has been planned from the beginning of time. Learn more about this truth in week one of our series on soteriology.
Right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Can you just greet the person sitting next to you as well? Give them a high five. Welcome, especially for those of you who are here for the first time. We are Victory. We are a church that exists to honor God and make disciples. Now, tonight, we're starting a brand new series called The Great Exchange. We just concluded our previous series last week called Worldview, and now we're starting this brand new series. And the goal of this series is all about looking back and having a more focus about salvation and understanding, learning the practical implications of our salvation. In other words, for the next couple of weeks throughout the month of March, we're going to be studying the doctrine of salvation. All right, why were we saved? What's a big deal about salvation? What's the practical implications of our salvations in our daily lives? We're going to learn about that in the next couple of weeks. The Great Exchange. You're wondering, ano man Great Exchange ang pangalan sa title na to? And that is because during salvation, when we gave our lives to God, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, there was a great exchange that happened. It's kind of like when you play sports, sa mga hilig sports like in basketball, if you see this hand sign right here, who knows what that means? That's substitution. Mag-change ang players. Whether a player is injured, unable to perform, or the coach just wants to substitute or change the players on the court, the referee makes that sign to signify that there's an exchange of players. The player from the court will go back to the bench. The one in the bench gets to play. The same thing with us when we talk about salvation. As we're going to learn in a while, during salvation, there was a great exchange. It's a pretty big deal ang exchange. It's a lot more than sa basketball lang. So we're going to learn more of that. That's why the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about the different aspects of this great exchange. In week two, we'll talk about guilty to forgiven. Week three, death to life. Week four, alienation to belonging. And in week five, meaningless to purposeful. These are all aspects of that great exchange. But for today, for our first week, for week one of our great exchange, we're going to talk about the salvation plan. We're going to talk about God's plan in general when we talk about salvation before we get to the aspects of the great exchange. Now, talking about plans, since pamunay ng semester, mag-March and all, who among you here you have travel plans na for the summer break? Excited na for summer? Excited for the beach, the mountains, or what's the trip ninyo ba? Mountain, beach? Beach, mountain, Baguio, or Boracay, or sa ba? Palawan. For whatever your travel plans are, I bet for some of you, naanam. Anyone here, you're more of the spontaneous kind nga person, nga laag. Diba nga mapakalit nga laag, nakatry na mo lang, you check your Instagram, you check your Insta stories, and you see your friends ng laag, sila tingala, ano ako invite man? And you ask your friends, ano wala ka na invite? Ay, sorry, pakalit mong gudo. Have you ever had those experiences? Sorry bro, on that day lang, pakalit lang, you know. Sorry, wala ka na invite na mo. Have you guys had that experience? I believe all of us have had those experiences. Now, I'm sharing all of that because as much as we appreciate or enjoy mga spontaneous trips, spontaneous plans, those things are really more of the small kind of events. When it comes to the really big deal kind of events in our lives, we don't go about it spontaneously or pakalit. For example, wedding. Anyone near your dream of getting married one day, mga singles? Ano mo kaulaw, baski gumana ng February, okay lang guys. If you're here, you're single, you're believing one day to get married, I bet none of you would think na you wake up one day, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or your fiance ba, and you tell, sige, karoon na tayo magpakasal na. Okay, bahala ng planning. Pakasal na tayo, ma. I believe no one would do that. If people want to get married, there's a lot of planning involved. Am I right? For some people, it takes months. Or some people, even a year to plan for their wedding. And it goes to show us na if we plan a lot, the more we give value into it. Am I right? When you talk about planning. Whether that be a wedding, your graduation, or whatever big event in your life. Now, I'm sharing all of these things because when we talk about the salvation plan God had for us, we're going to unpack, we'd come to understand that this plan has been thought of well by God, and the more we get into it, the more we'll get to appreciate His salvation plan for us. And my hope and my prayer that as we do so, it would result in us praising and thanking God for His plan, for His salvation plan. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn them to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Just a couple of verses. In verse 3, says there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing under the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So the verses we just read a while ago was from the book of Ephesians. It was written by Paul. Before we tackle all the stuff about the salvation plan and all that, one thing I want to tackle here, first and foremost, tonight, as we start our Great Exchange series, is this question. What is salvation? I feel like it's important for us to qualify once again. What is salvation? We hear about it every now and then. Whether you're a new Christian, you're a new believer, or you've been walking with God for the longest time, we will never grow tired of knowing and rediscovering what salvation is. Because it's very important. It's very crucial. Now, in a nutshell, if you go into a dictionary, you define what salvation is, it's the act of saving or protecting someone or a group of people from harm, risk, loss, or destruction. In other words, it's saving people. When we talk about salvation, you're saving someone from harm, someone from danger. Think of mga rescue efforts in calamities like this one, or when superheroes come in to save the day, whichever is your favorite superhero, or when firemen have to help a cat stuck in a tree. Example, from a small degree of seriousness to something really serious, like a natural calamity. Those are all examples of people saving other people. So it fits the description of salvation. But the salvation that I'm going to talk about here tonight does not involve the physical kind of harm. It's not about saving someone from physical harm. But rather, when you talk about salvation in this context, yes, it's still about saving people, but it's saving them from something more serious, more grave than any natural calamity. And you might ask, what is that? What could be so much bigger, so much serious, or more serious than any natural calamity known to man? That we are in need of a Savior, that we need of salvation. And to answer that, let me read Romans 6:23. It says here, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why do we need to be saved? Why is it important for us to be saved? Why is it such a big deal? Why do we need a Savior in the first place? Di ba kaya kita lang ang masave? And that is because of the consequence of our sin. Let me repeat it for a while. The consequence of our sin. The reason why we need to be saved, there's a consequence because of our sin. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Anyone here, you're working, mga single professionals? Because you're working at certain days of the month, you get paid. Am I right? As a return for your services. Now it says here in this verse, as a return for our sin, the consequence of our sins is death. Every time we sin, ang kapalit niya is spiritual death or death. In other words, eternal condemnation because of our sins. Eternal separation from the goodness of God. And it says here, that's for everyone who sins. Now, who's included in here? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Who sinned? Who is included in the previous verse? It says here, "For all have sinned." Say it with me, all. All have sinned, meaning it doesn't matter what your background is right now. Whether you're a student, you're a single professional, you're married, you speak Tagalog, Bisaya, English, you're a foreigner, you're a Filipino. Whatever is your background right now, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. We've all failed God's standards. If God's standard is like this high, kita na ubos kita. We've all failed it. None of us can say, I'm better than anyone. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same circumstance. Let's say we're all in a sinking boat. No one can say, I am as better off ko nimo kaya nako stop sa boat. Ikaw, nakas ilalom sa boat or something. No, we're all gonna sink. It's still the same thing. That's what the Bible says. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of our sins, the consequence is spiritual death. God, because He is just, He will exact His righteous judgment, His holy wrath upon our sins, because of our sins. Because He is just. That's what's going to happen if God didn't do anything. Imagine in a courtroom case, if someone were found guilty of murder, what's going to happen to the person? There's a penalty, of course, whether that be death row or whatever level of punishment, sa state or sa country, there's a penalty for that. And we have a penalty for our sins. God would exact His judgment. His righteous, holy judgment over us because of our sins. That's the sad part. That's the problem right there. But the good news is, God did not leave us so. Okay, nakasin mo.
nakasin mo mga humans, sayang, I should not have made you, bahala na mo, yeah, I'm gonna judge you na. God did something for us. Something amazing, something that we didn't earn or deserve, and that is salvation. When you look at the cross, it reminds us the amazing grace God did for us to save us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever should believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." In other words, God came into this world as Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we may be forgiven. This right here, church, is the great exchange. Instead of us bearing the punishment, the judgment, the penalty for our sins, all the guilt and all the shame and all the baggages coming alongside our sins, God came into the picture as Jesus, took our place, substituted with us, and said, "I'm gonna take your place. I'll bear the consequences of your sin." And that is why He died on the cross for our sins. In other words, every time you see the cross, always remember, that should have been us. It should have been us on the cross. It should have been us experiencing the holy wrath of God, the judgment of God, but it didn't happen. So Jesus took our place. He became our perfect substitute. And because of that, we were saved. We're going to unpack more of the results of that in the next couple of weeks. But in a nutshell, forgiveness of our sins, a new life in Christ, blessings. All of the stuff is a result of the salvation that we get from Jesus, by trusting Him, believing Him. On our own, we can never do that. You might be here and say, "What if I try to work it off, Tom? You know, I do my best. I attend all four services in Victory. 10, 3, 5, 7. Attend ako tanan. Basahan ako ang Bible from cover to cover every day. Motan ko Victory group every day." But even if you do that, no matter what good deeds that may be, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness, all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all failed like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Imagine that. Our good deeds, if kita-kita lang, no matter how good our good deeds are, the Bible says it's like a polluted garment. Imagine ang pinaka-worst ng labanan ninyo. Kanang pinaka-dugay na laban ng sanina ninyo. Imagine that. Even worse than that. The Bible says that's what our good deeds are like. On our own, no matter what good we try to do, it's still not enough. It's still not enough. We will never be enough to be able to pay off the consequences of our sins. We'll never be able to work it off and say, "Lord, forgiven ako, Lord. Okay na akong good deeds ako, Lord. Nabayaran na ako, tanan, Lord." And you may ask why. It is because of our sins. Our default is our sinful nature. Have you ever realized that it's easier to do something bad than to do something good? It's easier. Even if you don't think much about it, we are more prone to do something terrible, to do something bad. And that is because of our sinful nature. The Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. But the good thing is, Christ came into the picture and saved us. Died on the cross for our sins. In other words, every blessing that you've gotten, every good thing that has happened in your life, think of that as like a bonus from God as a result of our salvation. That right there is salvation. That right there is the reason why we go and make disciples, why we preach the gospel, why we do Victory groups. It's to tell people of the good thing Jesus did for us, this life-changing message that someone died on the cross for us, that we don't need to live our lives trying to do good deeds to earn salvation. We don't need to perform thinking, "Lord, bato na ako ni para masave ko, para malangit ko, Lord." No, we don't need to do that. Because Jesus already made it possible for us. He gave us the assurance already. Gave us the salvation already through what He did for us on the cross. But the funny thing, if you try to study more about salvation throughout the scriptures we just read a while ago, if you've read Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 3 to 6, you discover this particular word that still talks about salvation. And it's this word right here. It's the word predestination. I'm not talking about any movie out there. It sounds like a title of a movie, kasi. And I think there is a movie about it, but no relation to that. Predestination, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says there, "In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will." Now, if you're asking, what is predestination? Why is it mentioned in the Bible? Predestination or election is the biblical teaching that God chose people for salvation. That it was God who chose us. That's why we were saved. Now, if you're wondering, what's my criteria and what choose ni God, let me illustrate it this way. If you go to game shows like The Voice or what, but there's a criteria. They would choose you for your good voice. If you try to join the NBA, they would choose you for your skills, your athleticism. If mangukay ka, criteria din mo siguro, ang pagka-salvage sa sanina. Every time we choose something, we try to find the good points, the best of it, if chada ba niya or dili. But here's the thing with God. When He chose us, it was not because of something good in us. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we see it here, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me say it this way. While we were still sinners, while there was nothing of worth in us, while we were still living in our sins and dishonoring God, not glorifying God, going against His will, while, you know, there was nothing good that we ever did for God, while we were at our worst state, while we were unlovable, unlikable in the eyes of God at first because of our sins, He shows His love for us that He came down to this earth and died on a cross for us. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Isn't it amazing that God chose you not because of your merits, not because ikaw, complete attendance ka sa victory. Nung worldview series, complete attendance ka. Wala ka nag-absent. So I'm gonna save you, bro. Irij, I'm gonna save you because you're doing good in your studies. As long as 4.0 yung grado, save ka. Or whatever ang merit. But you know what? That's a good thing for us. Because God chose us, our salvation is anchored on something more solid and more enduring than our shifting moods and emotions. In other words, our salvation is not based on what we did. Our salvation is not anchored or based on whatever good thing we accomplished that we feel like we need to keep on doing it para lang ma-stay ang salvation nato. We are far more secure in Christ regardless of our circumstances. Because our salvation happened, because God chose us, we can rest assured, be secured that we won't lose our salvation because it's not dependent on our actions. Kung kita-kita lang, we would have lost it long ago because it's dependent on what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's dependent on what God did when He chose us. We can rest assured, Lord, thank you, God, for saving. We don't have to fear. We don't have to perform for God, earn His favor, earn His blessing. Lord, I'm doing this, Lord. Lord, you bought it, Lord. Lord, I tang-tang ako salvation now, Lord. We don't need to be in fear. We don't need to be anxious trying to earn our salvation because Jesus already did it for us. Another thing talking about salvation, being chosen by God, salvation has been planned from the beginning of time. As we talk about being chosen, predestined, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, we see it here, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In other words, before God formed the universe, before He formed the first atom, before He formed the mountains, the rivers, the seas, the birds, before He formed us, He already had this plan. It wasn't like when Adam and Eve fell, when they sinned, it wasn't like nagpatawag emergency meeting si God. Mga angels, meeting sa takaron. You remember katong mga humans, si gama na ako, patay, they sinned. Now what do we do? Guys, plano sa takaron. Use bato na to ni Adam and Eve. There was no emergency meeting. God was not like taken, surprise, shock. Parang, now what do I do? Saan na ako ni? God had planned it beforehand. Because He is all-knowing, He is God, nothing surprises Him. He already planned this fruit. And it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't like God came to this world one day, tapos, what feel na ako, matawag cross karon. I feel na ako, I will die for these people right now. Feel lang na ako, kay chadalata karon nga adlaw. Wala. He planned it before He formed us, before He formed the universe. God planned it. As a well thought of ang salvation plan ni God. As I said earlier, the more you plan about something, the more value you put in it. And here's the thing, kang God, He planned it before creation started. That's how much value He's put in His salvation plan. And who gets the benefit? It's us. God didn't need to save us. He didn't need to come to this earth, die on the cross for our sins, but He did it nonetheless. Jesus nonetheless died on the cross for our sins. Now for us to unpack more on what it means to be chosen by God, I'm going to share three simple points about being chosen by God. The first of which is, God chose you or God chose us to become holy and blameless. As we talk about being chosen, I must understand that being chosen, first and foremost, means that He chose us for a specific purpose. And one of that is to become holy and blameless. Going back to verse 4, it says here, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. I didn't make this up. The Bible says He chose us that we should live our lives holy and blameless. In other words, if you're here today, you're thinking, okay, chosen bitaw ko, assured na ko sa salvation, I get to do whatever I want. Ayan, hindi siya. Hashtag YOLO. Bato na ako tanong, gano'ng buhaton. Okay, anyway, assured na bitaw ko. It's not like that. Being saved by God doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want na. It's not like God said, okay, it is, I save you na, do whatever you want. It's not that way. God had a purpose. The choosing has a moral aim. There's moral involved. When I said to be holy a while ago, to be holy means to be set apart for God in order to reflect His purity. To be set apart. Kung before, we live our lives doing whatever we want, whatever we feel like doing. Now, because we have been saved by Jesus, we have this new life in Him now, it's no longer doing what we want. But no, what we've set apart our lives to live our lives to glorify God. Now, the end goal is, Lord, what do you want me to do in my life, Lord God? I've set apart my life. Lord God, I'm not going to do lang what I want, but Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do to glorify you, to honor you, Lord? That's what it means when you say holy, to be set apart. Marako ka lang if na mo'y pagkaons ba, gan mo unya na kan honor, or di mo ganang i-share sa inyong mga siblings, ilahit ninyo, i-set apart ninyo. But there's a purpose for that setting apart ni God. That's what holy means. Blameless naman comes from the Greek word amomos, which means free from blemish. Like the sacrificial animals presented at the altar during the Old Testament. In the Old Testament times, when people would come to worship God in their temples, they would bring animals with them. Now, how many of you are glad that we don't do that here in Victory anymore? Hindi na ka mag-parapigap nung sa Victory, and nung pakibitay sa akong kanding nung. Aren't you glad we don't do that? We don't bring cows, sheep, or if social mo, kabayo, inundalon diha. Now, if you're wondering why people needed to do that, because in their time, in their culture, before Christ came into the picture, for them to be forgiven of their sins, they had to offer sacrifices. They had to do it time and time again because it couldn't give them the permanent forgiveness of their sins. It wasn't enough to wash away their sins completely. But in their time, that's what they did to offer sacrifices to God. They would bring in animals, but not just any animals. For them to bring in animals, they had to make sure the animal was free from blemish. Meaning, tiyada ang animal. Dili siya salakiton. It's not a dying animal. They couldn't just say, Lord, I'm gonna offer this animal anyway. Sige na, magmalatay na siya, Lord. Mamatay bitaw siya. They couldn't do so. It had to be of good health. Tiyada ang fur, tiyada ang hair, tiyada ang feathers, if bird na siya. It had to be as close to perfect as possible ang animal. That's why God scolded them a few times before. Every time they would offer something that's not good. Or that's not free from blemish. The Bible says we are to be blameless, to live our lives holy and blameless. In other words, we are to live our lives free from blemish. Living our lives as if we are worthy sacrifices to God. I'm not saying na isulog na to ourselves, but what we do in our lives is like a worship to God. That we live our lives as living sacrifices to God, free from blemish, worthy of worship sa Yaha. Whatever is your background, whether you're a student, single professional, or you're married, God called us to live the holy and blameless lives. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says, Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. In other words, we have been redeemed by God so that we can do good works to glorify Him. Not to earn our salvation, because we've already gotten that, but to glorify God, to give thanks as a outflow, as a response to the salvation we receive from God, then we do our good works. You see the reverse here? Kung before we're doing good works to earn salvation, now because we got salvation now from Jesus, we do good works in response to glorify Him. That's the first thing. God chose us to live holy and blameless lives. God gave us the assurance of salvation, not so that we can do whatever we want, but God did it so that we can live specifically as how He intended it to be. Second thing, God chose us to be adopted into His family. Now, isn't it amazing that God didn't just want us to do something for Him, but when He saved us, He also welcomed us into His family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, in love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. So interestingly, as we talk about adoption and all that, in the New Testament, Jesus called God Father more than 60 times in the Gospels. Now, this is pretty important because in their time, it's pretty unheard of to call God Father. Nowadays, when we come to church, maybe you have the people and we praise Allah, Father God, Lord God. It's normal for us to call God our Father now. But in their time, before Jesus came into the picture, yes, they would call God many names, the God who heals, the God who provides, and all that, Lord Almighty. But they couldn't call God Father. 14 times only was God called Father in the Old Testament. And during those contexts, usually in the context of being the father of the nation of Israel and all that. But for Jesus, when he called God Father, when he called God Abba Father, if we would roughly translate that to English language, that would be like calling God Daddy. When Jesus called God Father, it was like calling God Daddy, Pa. That's how close and intimate Jesus would call God, God the Father. And the people around him would be amazed, surprised. How can you say that to God? Because they know of their state. They know of their sinfulness. They know God is so good and we are so not good. And here's the thing for us, church. Because we are saved by Jesus. Because we have been redeemed, completely forgiven of our sins, restored in our relationship with God. Guess what? John chapter 1 verse 12 gives us this privilege. To all who did receive him, Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave the right or the privilege to become children of God. In other words, for all of you here today, you're following Jesus, you've received Jesus. Guess what? You are a children of God. God has given you the privilege to call him Father. Not everyone could call God Father. But here's the thing, you believe in Jesus, you've received him, you get to call God Father. Your identity at the end of the day, if tangtangon na ko ang title ninyo sa work, tangtangon na ko ang sir, ang ma'am, ang doctor, ang engineer. Our identities are children of God. Our sons or daughters of God. That is our identity, church. And that's the privilege we get because of our salvation. We didn't earn it. We didn't say, Lord, accept ako ng anak ni mo, Lord. I did this. No, we were adopted, brought into God's family through salvation. That's just another one of the things that happens in the great exchange. Now, when we think of adoption, we usually think of parents or couples adopting babies or children. But in their time, in their culture, the Israelites didn't really practice much adoption. In fact, it was usually the Greeks and the Romans. And when they would adopt, they wouldn't adopt babies or children most of the time. They would adopt teenagers or young men and women. And the purpose for that is that when they would adopt these young men or teenagers, it was so that these young men, when they would adopt them, they would grow up and inherit the estate, the privileges, the wealth, the possessions of the family. In other words, there was a purpose to adoption. It wasn't just to have kids, but rather they would adopt these young people to inherit, to take after their possessions, their wealth. And there's a spiritual parallel here, and it's pretty important. When we are adopted by God into his family, we get to be recipients of all the benefits, the blessings, the privileges that God is showering to his people, to his children. In other words, as children of God, we'll be like heirs to his kingdom as his sons and daughters. How amazing that is that we get to be his children. That's like even more amazing. Ma-discover ni mo one day, long-lost relative di ka sa Queen's England or some CEO out there. Here's the thing, you are the son or daughter of God. All the perks and privileges and benefits of being his son and daughter, you have access to. You can communicate to God. You can talk to God. You can worship before God. You can be in his presence. All that is possible because God chose us. God saved us. It's not because of what we did, but it's because of what Jesus did for us. God chose us so that he can adopt us into his family. It's for our benefit. Imagine that. We're not just servants of God, but we are children of God. The last thing I want to share, and I want to close with this. God chose us for the praise of his glorious grace. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Here's the thing about salvation planning God and all the things he's done for us. The more you study, you understand, you know, you comprehend what God has done for you through salvation, through this great exchange, the more it sinks in, the more you come to appreciate, man, Lord, kami ibuhat nimo. I didn't do anything, Lord. You did all the heavy lifting. We're just recipients. the more that sinks in your heart, the more you come to understand that, the more it's going to lead you to praise and glorify God. God shows us that we can glorify and praise Him because He is God. He is worthy of our worship, worthy of all the glory and the praise. And part of Him choosing us, choosing His people, is that He will have a people who would glorify and worship Him in spirit and truth. And here's the thing for us, we don't need to force ourselves to praise God, because knowing and understanding God's salvation plan will lead us to praise Him naturally. Out of the abundance of our heart, we would say, Lord, worthy are you, Lord. Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to glorify you, Lord. I'm going to give thanks to you, Lord, because of your awesome salvation plan. I didn't deserve it, Lord. I didn't earn it. I was a sinner. I was beyond redemption, Lord. You didn't need to do it, Lord. And yet, you came down this world, took my place. And here I am, Lord God, recipient of that grace. Recipient of all that blessing. Diba, every time someone does something good for us, even small favors, we can't help but thank them. But sometimes we don't tell them, thank you. We will not show our gratitude. Here's the thing. God did way more than any other person could ever do in our lives. Pang eternity ang gibuhat ni God sa ato. He assured us of our eternity. Not just for the next 5 years, not just for the next year, next 10 years, or next 80 years. It's beyond pension, beyond SSS, guys. What God did for us was for eternity. He assured us of our eternity. And we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to be anxious about it. Lord, what's going to happen to me in eternity? But rather, we can look forward when that day comes, when we physically die and say, Lord, I'm going to be with you in all eternity. We can look to it with anticipation, with joy, with excitement, not with fear, not with worry, thinking, Lord, have I done enough in my 70 years of life? Lord, ikot na ba itong kipot na ako, good deeds? We don't need to be worried about that. And it's all because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's all because Jesus saved us. Not because of anything we did. We didn't. We are merely the recipients of that. That's how awesome the grace God gave us, church. And how can we not praise Him for that? Knowing, understanding God's salvation plan for us will lead us to praise Him.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.